Each day is just the same. Appreciate these songs. We certainly should be lifting him up. This morning I was in the shower just thinking, you know, I was thinking about the Lord, you know, how much he's done for us. Appreciated Brother Elias's words this morning, just encouraging us and admonishing us to recognize God and all that He does, His benefits, what He's done for us. And I was thinking this morning about healing. I thought, you know, it doesn't matter if you're sick and you get well, you are to praise God for your healing. It doesn't matter if He heals you through a natural process. He made this body, and He made it where it'll heal itself. And we are to thank God that He's given us all that He's gave us, however He is working. You know, I mean, He deserves all the credit of everything, every breath that we take and everything else that we have. It's all God that has blessed us with life and all the different aspects of life. And I just was thinking along those lines. It just gave me more of a reason to praise Him, to thank God. You know, everything belongs to You. You're the source of all things and all life and everything I have. And you deserve all the praise. And I'm glad, like Brother Elias said this morning, that God's touched my mind. He's touched my ears and my eyes to help me to see that. You know how many people there are today that don't see that? They don't see a reason to praise God. They don't have a purpose that they can focus on what God's done for them. Well, thank God He's touched us in a way that we recognize that He deserves all the praise for everything. And He's not, I know God's not just wanting, you know, us to, lift Him up in any vain way, but I just know that He wants us to recognize all His greatness for our benefit. It's for our benefit. What the creation was for our benefit. It was for Himself also. I know that He desires a family, but He wanted to give someone else all of the good things that He has. He wanted to bestow them on others. He wanted you and I to inherit all of His greatness. And that's why He created Jesus in His image, and then he sent Christ to reconcile us back to Him, because He created man in His image. He wants you and me to be in His image and to have all that He has. I know He just wants to share it with us. He just wants us to get in a place where we can responsibly appreciate it and use it rightfully, righteously. And so I just have an appreciation in my heart today for the goodness of God. That song said, He has made me glad. Well, He has. He's made me. Every once in a while, I have to get my mind on the gladness that He's given me and the things that I should be glad for. You know, things in this life can get you down. You ever notice how just thoughts, you can have thoughts, they might not even be right. You know, but you get to working on a negative thought, and before long you're in the mully grubs. And it don't matter, you know, even if it's a true negative thought, we ought to brush it off. We ought to be able to overcome it. We ought to be able to say, God, help me to see the good in everything. Help me to look at the good. Help me to overcome everything that drags me down, pulls me back, and causes me to look down. Help me to, God, help me to look up to the hill from which cometh my help. Hallelujah. There's a God in heaven that can help you in everything. He can lift you up out of every condition that there is that you need lifted up out of. Hallelujah. He's able. He's more than able to touch you in whatever condition that you and I can ever be in. and he's to be praised. He's to be recognized. He's to be, like this song said, glorified, magnified, hallelujah. We are to, the name, that song said, lift up the name. Well, everything that name stands for. What does it mean to you? What's the name of the Lord mean? It means everything to me. It's beginning to mean more and more. His greatness, His love, His mercy, His patience, His benefits in every way. Life, the hope of life eternal. That's what His name means to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody tell me His name again. The song says that little, the history behind that little song, Tell Me His Name Again, was a little missionary. I was a missionary, and I believe it was in Africa, wasn't it? Where this little woman heard about this missionary that came, that was preaching about salvation, and she walked to the village where they were having a service, and she was in that service, and God touched her. And I'll tell you, to me, there's no greater thing than the touched of God. Oh, I tell you, I was thinking while Elias was talking this morning about how God touched him, gave him a dream. And I was just thinking of all the times God's touched my life. I'm not talking about somebody talking and just making me feel their sentiment. I'm talking about a touch from the God of heaven that reaches down in your life and begins to touch you and quicken you. And you can feel Him. You know He's real. He comes into your life and He begins to touch you. And I know sometimes that those touches don't come as often. I think sometimes that we're the reason they don't come so often. We get in conditions that God can't hardly touch us, our frame of mind, our spirit. But if we can push all that back and reach out to Him, I'll guarantee you one thing. If you ever genuinely, is that a better way of saying it? If you ever genuinely reach out to Him, you can believe He'll reach back. He's like Elias said, he was telling us at home this morning, said that's God. Well, I think it was here. That was his, when he said it's his food. He said, God feeds on that. The Lord feeds on your reaching out to Him. He longs that relationship. When He reach down and touches your life. My, no greater thing can happen to an individual to have God reach into your life and touch you with His Spirit, His presence, His touch. And for God to do that for how many people? I don't know how many. I know there's millions that's probably never felt Him, never had felt His touch some way. Oh God. Some way He's come in my life and touched me many times. Hallelujah. He's made me glad many times. And I just can't allow, I'm just sorry, but I can't allow enough things to hinder me from recognizing Him and what He's done for me. And His touches in my life to praise Him, to magnify Him, to glorify Him in all that He's done, all that He is. And the benefits, what He's brought my way, the hope He's given me. I have hope tonight. I know you do too. Hope of life eternal. In righteousness, in peace, and in joy. Saints, there's a place in God. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Don't let the devil rob that from you. There's a place in God where there's no. There's no more sorrow. Oh, hallelujah. I think we ought to practice on that a little bit down here. Don't let things get you down. Don't let situations in life pull you down. But find a right reason to praise Him. Find a reason to lift up your head and see all the benefits. You know, even if you do go through, you know, we know we are. We'll go through sufferings and sorrows and tribulations and trials. But it's so much easier when you have this message and you have some reason for knowing what you're going through or knowing how to overcome it. And still, even in our sorrows, we can praise Him. We have never suffered blood yet. We haven't suffered like the early church. And nobody's beat me. I've never have suffered, you know. I've suffered, you know, a few things, but I haven't suffered very much for the Lord. I never had anybody beat me with a cat of nine tails yet. I never have had anybody throw me in jail just because I was talking about my Savior. And I hadn't went through any of those things yet. I hope I never have to, but if I do, I hope that I've developed enough love of God, that I've got enough of God in me, that I realize I can see Him and all that there is, and I can still find a way to praise Him. To be able to, you know, to have, I just like to have what those, you know, those early apostles weren't, they didn't have so much. I mean, I know they'd been with Him and they watched Him, but it wasn't too long. You know, and Paul and Silas didn't even walk with Him, but they got something so great from God that when they were put in jail and beaten and put in stocks, I don't know how they got started. I don't know who brought it up, but one of them evidently looked at the other and said, let's sing a body chorus. Let's praise Him, hallelujah. Let's praise Him, we're counted worthy to suffer for His name. My God, they started singing. I don't know if the Lord meant, I don't know if He threw them in there, if He was planning on rattling the bars and you know, causing an earthquake or the shaking to take place, and the jail bars to fly open. If He wasn't planning on it, their praise and their calling on Him and recognizing what He had given them. Oh, God. What the Lord has done for me. Like that song said, look what the Lord has done. Look what He has done. He healed my body. Every time I ever been sick, every time I got well, He's the one that healed me, hallelujah. I give Him the credit. If I got well, it's because God gave me whatever it is in life. If it's just a natural healing, He's the gift of glory. He's the one that made this body where it's capable of doing that. I recognize Him in all those things. And He healed my body. He touched my mind. Oh, God, hallelujah. Have your mind touched of God. For God to begin to work on my mind. Where would my mind be tonight if God hadn't touched me? God hadn't helped me. Where would my mind be? Who would I hate? Who would I, you know, and you know, who would I have ill feelings towards? You know, God can get you in a place where you love your enemy. What Jesus said, love your enemies. Don't sit around and stage a fight with them or get in. You know, you can get in a fight in your mind with what you think's your enemy. You're your worst enemy when you're doing that. Oh, God, if we can get free of that and realize, God, only thing, you know, that's hindering me is sin. If people do you wrong, it's because they haven't overcome the sin nature completely. We are to be like Jesus. We are to grow at least be saying, God, let me be like that if I haven't achieved it, where I can have pity and compassion on anyone that sin is ruling in their life, that God's set me free. What was that? We were singing a song there, that last song, wasn't it, where it said that I was... Which one of the songs was it? Were those that are in prison have been loosed? How, there was one of the songs that we were singing had that in it. Was that the band song today? And what's the name of that song? Blood Bought Church. That's it. That hit my mind. I thought, God, that's God's desire to set every person that's in prison free. Well, evidently, you can be in a dungeon in a prison and be free. You can get free. You can get free from everything that hinders. Oh God, what a God that He could. Help us get to that place. I was glad to hear Brother Elias's response today. Sister Smith was telling him we need money, his church is just too small a building for his people now. She was saying we need another building. He said we need more than a building. We need to build this message in people's lives. He said, you can have a building, and if it ain't in the people, you ain't got nothing. But he said, if you get this message in people, I didn't help him any, but I wanted to say, if we get our focus on that, God will give us the building and the money and whatever else we need that he wants us to have. In his time, I just thank God. Of course, I do believe that, you know, the Lord can put it in our minds, but that's what I believe about God. Just like, you know, when it was Ezra, Nehemiah, when it was God's time, he stirred up some men's minds. And they began to get a burden for what God wanted. God put that in their minds, and they began to work for God and accomplish what he wanted. Hallelujah. So, let me encourage you tonight. Give him praise. Lift him up. Just when you're driving down the road, whatever you're doing, try to get your mind on God. I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to y'all, but I know we all need that to realize I'm a child of the King. I've been born of the Creator of this universe. He's come into my life. I may not have fully even got or come to the realization of what I've got. But he's helping me with that. My Lord, my God, I'm wanting the Lord. I'm asking God, God, give me some greater desires concerning you. You know, I don't want to just in my own self stir myself up about what I think, but I'd like for you to touch me and cause me to desire what you want me to do and what you want me to have and how you want me to work and be a part of your kingdom. And I'm just one little guy. You're one too. Guy or girl, it don't matter. We're all members in particular. And he's called us to such a great cause. Hallelujah. He's worthy tonight. Praise his wonderful name. Well, if I stayed up here and talked very much longer, I think I could get to feeling pretty good. I could get wound up about this great God, this Savior, his Son, and what he's brought in my life, what he's bringing in the body of Christ and in all of those that'll let him touch him. Hallelujah. All right, I'm just going to back up from here and sit down and see what the Lord has. But I just wanted to follow up these songs a little bit and just say they're touching me. I'm feeling like, you know, that he's worthy of my recognition and everything. Everything I can come up with and some of the things I can't. That's why you ought to just once in a while just holler, hallelujah! Say, what's that for? I don't know, but he's worthy of a hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah.
Gotten to where I watch TV less and less all the time. I mean, I can't find anything very interesting on there. And you know, it's so worldly. Even the advertisements are so worldly that I just can't get interested in TV too much anymore. But last Sunday afternoon, I sure don't get into TV preachers. I mean, Joel Osteen makes me sick, but with his mushy delivery. But I turned on a religious station last Sunday afternoon, and this older black man was preaching, and I got kind of interested in him. He was using that scripture, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And he said, "You won't steal, you won't lie, you won't commit adultery. In other words, you'll do right. If you love me, you'll do right." So I was listening to a CD Monday that I haven't listened to in a while. It was by Paul Davis. He had most of his hit songs, I think, were back in the 80s. And he's got a pretty song on there that says, "Do Right." And it starts off slow and it says, "I know he gave his life for me to set our spirits free." And then it gets faster. It says, "You got to do right. You got to do right. I want to do right. I want to do right. You got to do right. You got to do right. And he'll be your guiding light." So thank God for the guiding light. The scriptures has a lot to say about light. It says this is the condemnation that has come into the world. Condemnation that has come on the world, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And you know, it says, what fellowship has light and darkness? But in this world, you're going to fellowship darkness wherever you go. I mean, I was eating with my neighbor at pizza Monday night, and his brother-in-law and wife came, and his wife, she said, talk about the different churches they've been going to, and she said, it doesn't matter what church you go to, there's just one God. And I said, well, Jesus prayed that they might be one. So she said, well, that's right. But then Tuesday, I was fellowshipping an atheist, my neighbor next door. He invited me to go out and eat with he and his wife, and he even paid for my meal. And so, he's told me he just don't believe in God, but we got home from eating, and his wife went in the house, and he said, you know, well, he and his wife inherited these two houses next to me, and they come down here usually normally this time of the year, and they stay till November, but his wife, they're in their 70s, and she's got leukemia and dementia, and they had to go back last Thursday for blood treatment in Indiana. So they usually stay here till Thanksgiving and then come back Christmas and stay till March. But he said, you know, my wife is sick, and we probably won't be back till February. He said, would you take the key to my house in case something happens? You know, it made me feel good that he would trust me with the key to his house. You don't just trust everybody with the key to your house. So that made me feel good that he would do that. So I've got to where I pray every night. I used to not pray when I'd go to bed. Sometimes I felt like I was so fatigued and depressed and overwhelmed. I thought, God's not going to listen to me. But I've got to where I feel like God is listening now, and I pray every night. Give him thanks for the day, or pray for our sick people. And so I just praise him for being here tonight. And, you know, I just want to be one of those that stays with this vision. And sometimes I feel like God wants to save me in spite of myself, that he knows my weaknesses, but I feel like he's wanting to help me in spite of myself. But good to be here tonight, and we miss some of our people here, but feels good to be here.
Every day, he helps me through every situation. I don't know really how people get along in life without the Lord, because I know I depend on him every day. Seems like from the time I wake up, I mean, just even get to work and traffic and everything. And then on the other hand, when I'm at home, I need him to help me through that too, because it's so boring. You know, I could lay down and go to sleep. But anyway, I'm so thankful to the Lord. I've been going through a trial now. And I remember last year, I had the very worst birthday of my life. I really wanted to die. I mean, it happened, an incident happened. Joe came to pick me up for work, and I wanted to ride in with him so bad so I could come to church. Y'all don't know, but my car was broke down like 9 months. I missed every Wednesday night of service. I think I was here like 4 services on Wednesday night, practically that whole. And I'm glad Brother Smith didn't recognize I was gone. But I was here on Sundays. But anyway, Joe picked me up. There was a bad incident that happened on my way to work. And I sat there all day long just screaming about this situation. It was so bad. I wanted to go home. I could just die. You know, and then it's like people would come up to me and wish me happy birthday. And I'd just break out bawling, you know. I mean, really, it was the worst day of my life, but anyway, I remember I prayed and I fasted. It was through the youth meeting last year, and I wouldn't eat anything, not anything, and I remember, like, the fifth day was, like, Monday when I went back to work after the meeting, and I hadn't eaten anything in over 5 days, and I remember I was starting to feel like, Lord, do I really need to eat something to get me through this day? But I don't know what would I eat, because I could get sick and then have to leave or something. And so when I was sitting there praying, I mean, the most incredible thing happened, because I said, maybe popcorn, maybe if I just ate popcorn. And y'all, I'm not kidding, right when I said that prayer, a coworker walked by my desk, and she backed to my desk, and she said, Julie, would you like a bag of popcorn? I mean, it was like, I mean, that was so God. And I was like, oh, yes, you know. So anyway, I knew that God accepted my fast, and then, you know, he was letting me know that, you know, right then and there I could eat that popcorn. But, I mean, she was on her way to the break room to pop the popcorn for herself, and she walked by my desk and backed up and handed it to me, and that was God. But anyway, the most incredible thing, though, is that, you know, God always has a way to make up for things, because, like I said, last year was the worst birthday of my life. I'll never forget 49. What a terrible birthday. But on my 50th birthday, it's like God just went over and above and made up for everything, because on my birthday, Joe, now this time his car blew up. And he would remind him, you know, that it was Wednesday night or anything to give him an opportunity to back out, find another way to, you know, get home or whatever. But I remember he was feeling so low, and I picked him up, and then I reminded him, you know, like, Joe, it's Wednesday night, you know, where do you want to go eat, you know, before church? And I could just look it in his face, and he just had that look like, oh, God. But it wasn't the real severe, like, oh, God, no, you know, but anyway, so, yeah, he got to read them. Boy, sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's minor, but anyway, so we come to church, and y'all, I want to tell you, the way he walked in this church was a 360 turnaround from the way that he was when he walked out the door. I mean, God done something to him, something for him. But anyway, I remember Michael told Joe, he said, you can set your alarm at 12:01 to call her and wish her a happy birthday, because I'm going to be the first one at 12. We all, you know, we drove home, and Joe was just talking to me. And then I got home, and I took him home, and I went back home. And then, I mean, just like within 5 minutes, he was knocking on my door to tell me something. And he come in, and we stood there, and we talked in the hallway till midnight. And then Joe said, by the way, Mom, happy birthday. I get to be the first to tell you happy birthday. And I said, Hulk, you know, when he left, I couldn't even sleep because I was just praising God. I'm like, Lord, you're doing something for him. But, you know, since July 25th, my 50th birthday, he has not missed his service. And, you know, he's, like, ready before me, like, I'm the holdup here. And I mean, he comes over, and we, like, talk till midnight, and we know we got to get up at 4. You know, but it's like, oh, wait, just let me tell you one more thing. Let me tell you. I mean, it is so awesome, you know, that we could talk about the Bible, and I could tell he's reading his Bible, you know. One day he was sitting there, and he was helping me, and I was like, oh, Joe, I said, you know what? You're preaching to me. And he's like, oh, no, Mom, no, Mom. And I said, yes, yes, you passed me up. You passed me up. That's what I want. But anyway, he reads his Bible. He's, you know what, he's putting conviction onto me. We were talking, you know, I was telling him some of my dreams that I've had recently. And I said, Joe, you know, you're putting conviction on me. I don't think I'm backslid, but I'm not so determined as I was before. It's like, you know, I'm not going to let anything get in my way, you know, stop me from reading my Bible and, you know, praying and everything. But he has been reading his Bible and getting to work early to get on the internet reading stuff. He's Brother Smith, your talk on marriage, you know, he's downloaded all those Bible studies. He listens to your Bible study all the time, and I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful for everything God has done, and I just wanted y'all to know, because, you know, if you have a bad birthday, next year I promise you God will make it up. He will. I mean, more than what you can even dream or imagine. And I'm just so thankful to have him here. And I know he talks so much, and he says, I really do want to get up and testify. He's like, I really do want to praise God. He's like, you know what, I go like this. And he's like, nope. You know, I said, that is that Adam spirit. You got to fight that down. And but anyway, I don't know if this will help him to get up, because I know he really wants to. I wouldn't do this, you know, to be mean or on purpose or whatever, but I know he really wants to. But I just praise God, and it's like we have that connection. You know, you just can't really talk to anybody about the Lord and know what they're feeling and have what they have, what you have. But anyway, I know I don't think he's gotten a touch back in the Lord, but I mean, God can touch you in other ways, and he definitely has. And I'm so thankful to God, and just praise him for what he's done for my son. And he is really a different person. He even told me, he said, Mom, you know, I really do know that I was just about to go down the wrong path. I know I was about to. And, you know, we were singing that song, He Touched Me Just in Time. I was like, oh, God, that's my song and that's Joe's song, too. But, I mean, there's just so many incredible things that he's told me about. I mean, like, God sent a pillar outside of his door where he works. A cloud was out there. I mean, he was talking to Joe. He's just been able to tell me so many things. And, you know, I don't want to give all this testimony because I'm so well telling it, but I'm so thankful to God.
So she put me on the line here. That's okay. This is something I really been wanting to do for a while, and it's really hard to motivate yourself to stand up, even though everybody does it. the last year, whatever's been pretty rough, up and down, emotionally and spiritually, I wasn't. I don't think there was a spiritual side for a while. And 2 or 3 years ago, I had it was a dream that should have terrified me. But it only bothered me a couple days. And I was able to blow it off. I had a dream that there was a whole bunch of bad weather around my house. And a tornado dropped down out of the sky, you know, and you have those real big, great, huge ones, you know, the F5s, you know, it's the hand of God across the earth, and then you have the little ones, the stovepipes, you know, those are the terrifying ones for me, because they get to jump and go wherever they want. You never know where they're going to be. And I had Ashley and my son, and we were running from our house to my grandma's house. We all live on the same 30 acres, and you know, we're running, and I've got Erin, and she's running next to me. And we make it just outside of my grandma's house. It's mostly brick. It has a bunch of interior rooms. So we're headed this way. And right when we make it past the shop, I handed Erin off to Ashley, and this tornado, it's like it started to rope out when they started dissipating. It reached out and grabbed me by the foot. And it pulled me down and started dragging me. And, of course, I'm screaming and pretty upset about the whole situation. And but that tornado didn't touch anything else. It didn't touch the house. It didn't mess up the grass. It was after me. And I knew that. And I was able to kind of push it off and go about my own thing. And, you know, I knew something was coming. And I didn't do anything about it. And I believe that storm is coming. It's upon me, you know. And, when it all came down, I knew where to go. You know, somewhere I should have been a long time ago. It's something I should have never walked away from. This I should have never left. You know, in retrospect, you really understand that. You know, you can you sit down, you make a plan for what you're going to do with your life, and you have this goal. You know. And, I was wanting to build race car engines. You know, that's what I wanted to do. And I left God out of it. I didn't take into consideration anything about the talent that, you know, has been given to me for this type of mindset I have, and, you know, and just how God has helped me through all of, you know, just fixing cars. And you know, even since I've been back, I started coming back to church, and I do quite a bit of praying. You know, you spend all day alone under a hood of a car, you do quite a bit of thinking and talking to yourself. And, you know, 12 hours is a long day. God, you know, I've asked for, you know, visions or signs, you know, and I'll get them. And it's hard to bring it all together. You know, there's just so much that has happened over the last 4 or 5 months that I should have been standing up weekly and testifying and telling what God has done for me. And the mindset, I'm usually a pretty introverted person. Most of the time, you don't know what's going on inside my head, you know, emotionally, or, you know, what I'm thinking about. But, you know, what's happened to me here recently, even my boss, someone that is someone that looks past everybody, he pulled me in the office and he was asking me if I was okay. And so I knew it was bad. And but just since I've been back, you know, my mom said that, you know, I made a turnaround. That first service I come back to, you know, the spirit in here, just the people, it's amazing when you've been out for a while, you know, and it's everything's dry. You know, you come back in here and, you know, it's just sitting on that back pew, you know, I felt so much and I was just so thankful for the opportunity to be back. And I've slowly worked my way back and I was in a bad shape emotionally. My boss was worried for me. He thought I might do something drastic. But God is, you know, I went up and I got prayed for, and just, you know, I asked God to remove, you know, the pain, help me ease it, help me, just help me be me, you know, to get over the I guess depression would be the word. And he did. And because of it, I'm able to go to work and I'm able to stand there 12, 13, you know, 16 hours a day by myself and walk out okay. You know, with all that time to sit there and think about all the problems in your life, I'm able to sit, you know, I'm able to just do my job, and I thank God for the opportunity that I have, that I'm back. I've lost a lot. I've gone through a lot. But I'm back here. And it's where I want to stay, you know. And I've been kind of taking little baby steps, because I've seen a bunch of people that were out for a while. They come back and it's a flash. They're here for a few months, really excited. They're gone again. And you might see them again in a couple years. That's not what I want. I want to instill this as a part of my life. I want it to be part of me, so that, you know, in 30 or 40 years, you look over, you know, and I'll be like the crows. You know, that I admire them. They've been there forever. You know, and every time that seat's empty, it hurts. You know, but it is all, it is long overdue, you know, and I wanted to stand up and thank God for everything he's done for me and where he's brought me from. And just all of it, you know, thank everybody here for your, you know, even if you didn't think it was compassion, you showed it. I wanted to thank God tonight and let him know that I'm here.
Microphone to Sister Elsie. I want Sister Elsie to sing the choruses with you on this. She will. Make sure she's on. Putting her on the spot, but y'all notice it takes Eshon to go back there and make sure it's working. don't give him an iPhone. We good? There you go. Would you like to say something before we sing? We're going to sing Tell Me His Name Again. I figured you did.
I want to thank the Lord for everything he's done for me. I can't even think of all the things he's done for me. He's constantly saving me in many different ways. And he's healing me. I can't tell you how many times he's healed me. I've laid in bed at night trying to think of all the times, all the things that's happened. God brings me through it every time. And Brother Joe, is that your, is that his name? I just want to tell you, it does get better. As you go, it gets so much better.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thank the Lord for allowing me to be here with all you people. I'm just so happy for all of you.
Yeah.
They tell me, let's go to E flat. They tell me of love's sweet old story. They tell me of a wonderful name. It thrilled all my soul with its glory. It burned in my heart like a flame. They told me of the one who so loved me that in heaven he could not remain. He came down to seek and to save me. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has stirred, the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name again. They say he was born in a manger, that there was no room in the inn. That in his own world was a stranger, yet loved it in spite of its sin. They say that his path led to Calvary, that one day he died there in shame. He gave his great life as a ransom. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again, and sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has heard, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name again. They call him the sweet rose of Sharon. They call him the lily so fair. They call him the blessed rock of ages. They call him the bright morning star. He's a prophet, a priest, and redeemer. King of all kings he shall reign. He's coming in power and glory. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die. That I've ever heard. my heart has stirred. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain. Him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. This glory my heart has stirred. The sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings hope and cheer. Oh, tell me his name again. They tell me of love's sweet old story. They tell me of a wonderful name. It thrilled all my soul with its glory. It burned in my heart like a flame. They tell me of one who so loved me that in heaven he could not remain. He came down to seek and to save me. Oh, tell me his name again. Oh, tell me his name again. And sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross of shame. The story my heart has stirred. The sweetest that I've ever heard.
Praise God. I appreciate what I've been feeling. Feels like a wonderful place to be in on a Sunday evening. To give our God a praise. Man, we in debt, aren't we? We are in debt. We owe our God the greatest and highest praise of all people. He has blessed us with so many wonderful things. Brother Smith, I appreciate the things you were just exhorting to us this evening. Had God not touched us, think about where would you be tonight had God not touched your mind? Just looking back, if God hadn't touched my mind in the walk I was endeavoring, I'd probably be a street walking a bomb. Could be out of a job, but I heard his voice one day, and it scared me. Never had a relationship with the Lord. I didn't come from a praying family. I don't know of anyone that was praying for me, Brother Elias, that old Doug would get saved and quit acting a fool. I don't know of anyone that was doing that. If they were praying, they were praying, get him away from me. I don't want him around my house. You crashed too many parties. You showed up when you wasn't invited, but one day God invited me to his church. I'd have been invited to church many times by friends, but I didn't like their lifestyle. How you going to invite me to church and you smoke more dope than I do? I just couldn't get that. But when I come to God, the first service I was in, he spoke to me. Oh, you're talking about, I was afraid. And all he said was sincere. Sincere. About 2 years later, he finished what he was saying to me. I brought you to a sincere people. And you've been sincere over 36 years. So, Brother Smith, the things you were saying tonight, how often do we forget to thank God for what he's done for us? How often do I forget sometimes to praise him in all the ways that he's helped me and he touched my mind? When he touched my mind, you know, God delivered me from drugs and alcohol, cigarettes. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I felt so rejoiced in my heart as leaving the parking lot. I slung them out across the street, my cool cigarettes. And someone else benefited from me being delivered. There used to be a little fellow, I don't know what happened to his mind. Across the street was Cash Lumber Company in those days and a little cafe. And there was a little guy who wore a baseball cap. I don't even know his real name, but the guys here told me we called him Bradshaw. Harvey? Okay. All I ever knew was Bradshaw. Yeah, I don't know where he got off on baseball, but you could holler, Bradshaw, how about them Yankees? And he'd stop and batter up for you. Oh, praise God. So I'm glad that he touched my mind and he allowed me to feel his wonderful love. And he brought me to the place. You know, I used to didn't think that young men needed to serve God. But one day a young man about 27 years old, invited me to church. And when I came, that's all I seen was young people, Brother Smith. Sitting in the band, sitting in the congregation, church house full of young people. First service I was in, it was dedicated to me. Their testimonies touched my heart. I couldn't do nothing but hold my head down and just cry. And ask myself, what are you doing here? But something else said, you need to be here. I'm glad I stayed. I'm glad I stayed and fell in love with this people. Begin to hunger and thirst for righteousness. But you talked about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost so much. Brother Wayne McGowan, he's not here tonight. I don't know why in those days I didn't tell him. Say, man, would you just hush? Because you provoked me to jealousy. I want this Holy Ghost. I want it. I appreciate God tonight, how he's touched my mind and give me a heart and a mind to serve him and love him and walk with him. I've had distractions before in my life. I've had things that told me, you need to go another direction. God's not going to help you through this. Oh, but he has. He's been a friend. And when you talk about God's benefits and his love, Brother Smith, you stir something up inside me. Oh, God, I'm glad that I can be a part of this, that he's called me a junkie, a dopehead, a crackhead, whatever you want to call it, to come and dine at my table. Come and be a part of that wedding. Yes, I've been invited to a wedding tonight, haven't you? Yeah. I've been invited to a wedding. Yes, we all have been. And we're getting ready. We want to be there. Oh, yes, we embrace this message. But I've embraced his love, too, and his wonderful benefits toward me. Brother Smith, you just wouldn't quit talking about how much we should praise God. We sing that song. Oh, yes, I'm a child of the King, and his royal blood now flows through my veins. Does that do something to you? Does that mean anything to you? It means something to me. And he brought me in off the streets and cleaned up my life and let me walk with him. And I was sitting there thinking, as Brother Smith was talking of all the wonderful ways and how we should praise God and lift him up. And this scripture come to my heart, and I just wanted to deliver my little scripture here tonight. It's in 1 Peter verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, and you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you, not someone else, but you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and brought you to this marvelous light. I appreciate God tonight, which in time past were not a people, but now you're a people of God. Oh, God. And now you have obtained mercy, yes, that you should walk with him tonight. So I appreciate our God tonight. I appreciate getting to be here. I didn't have to be, but God called my name one day, and I heard his voice. Oh, I appreciate God tonight. I was working on a job, and the Lord sent someone my way to help me with my troubles. I poured out my heart one day to a young man and told him some dreams that I'd been having. And he talked with me for probably 2 or 3 weeks on the job. And one day he pulled me aside. He said, Bill, listen, man, I got to tell you, I can't take this no more. I said, what's wrong, man? He said, Bill, I hope I don't scare you, and I hope I don't run you off, man. He said, well, I'm going to tell you, God's dealing with you. I said, what? God's dealing with me. Man, I don't get that. I don't get that. He said, well, I know you've probably never heard the term chastening, but God's chastening you. Now you really have flipped. So what do you mean, man? He said, Bill, God has his hand on you, and I can tell by your conversation, you're asking questions that no other man in this building, no other Christian in this building, so-called, whatever the level they are not asking me questions about God like you are. And he should have said, or he could have said, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to leave it with you. But I look back over the years, and he could have said, if I were you, I'd turn myself in. You see, God had his hand on me. And I put that together. This is my package. That there was a warrant out for my arrest. And when God began to look for you, he knows just exactly where you are and where to pick you up at. And I thought, sitting up late at night, scared to go to sleep. With the drugs I had in my house, I couldn't sleep. Peeping out the window, every car passed by, I thought, that the detectives made my wife a nervous wreck. One day God put his eyes on me, handcuffed me, and brought me to the church of the living God. I heard the sentence, I heard the verdict, I said, I'll take a life sentence. I'll take that rather than death. So I appreciate getting to be here tonight. And I owe God a praise tonight. I owe him a thanks down in my heart. I appreciate the Lord, what he's done for me.
If you could look up the hymn, Oh What a Savior. I wonder if we could sing that tonight. There's an old hymn called What a Savior. The chorus starts out, once I was straying through sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven, a Savior to save a poor lost soul. Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Sure.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through Calvary. once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. They searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nailed on.
His son was riven.
He gave
his lifeblood for even me. Oh, on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his life's blood for even me. Oh, what a His heart was broken on Calvary.
Let's worship him, saints.
His hands were nails.
Oh, hallelujah!
His side was riven.
He loves you tonight. Oh, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory.
Oh, bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. I've enjoyed this tonight and looking forward to these next 3 weeks before our meeting and having Brother and Sister Cyprian here with us. And looking forward to that. Glad Sister Elsie was able to make the services today. Feels so good to look back there and see her. And we'll, like I announced this morning, will continue to have work days on Saturdays. We're trying not to work, you know, all day. And it seemed like if enough of us show up, we can get quite a bit done in just a half a day. But still have more to accomplish to try to get ready for the meeting. And so I do want you to know I appreciate you, brother. You know, it takes a team to get things done, and men that have minds to work. And I'm thankful for men, the men in this church. I feel like you're all just a wonderful group of men. And then Friday night, Brother Painter and Brother and Sister Painter are going to have a youth function here at the church in the dining room, just for the young people, young marrieds and young people, to make peanut butter, peanut brittle for youth. We got the Mount Carmel youth meeting coming up. They just would like to try some things that would bring together fellowship and fun, and then to raise some money. He asked me about it, what they could do a few weeks ago, and I said, make some peanut brittle. It always sells. Everybody likes peanut brittle. I'll buy some. Even though I, you know, always eat too much of it when I buy it, but it don't come around all that often. Don't seem like y'all, you know. I'm ready for a little peanut brittle. Anyway, Friday night at 7 o'clock for the youth, and of course service Wednesday night. Prayer meeting at 7:00, service at 7:30. Shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you then. Yes. Sister Tally wants something said. Sister Smith tells everything, Sister Tally. You just have to quit telling her if you don't want it told. Oh, yes, the Memphis meeting is the 23rd night. Have we got the invitation yet? Where's Sister Weiniger? She hadn't got it. Well, I'm sure that it's at 7:30, but I know it's not before 7. So if you get there 30 minutes early, you know, you'll just be early enough to get a good seat. So it's Memphis on the 24th. That would be Thursday night, Friday and Saturday. And a fellowship meeting in Memphis, Brother Truman Benfield. And that's close enough to us. Thursday night starts this Thursday night. The 24th, it's a regional fellowship meeting. So if enough of you want to take the van, we'll get it ready to go. Or however you want to go, it's one of the meetings that's close enough for y'all to go to. And Brother Benfield, it's in where, Middleton? Is that how you say it? Millington, that's right. So if you need any help on the address or anything, well, just let us know. We hadn't evidently, if we've got a letter, I'm not aware of it. I'm thinking we should have got one, but anyway, and I may have got one at my home address and just don't remember it. I'm sorry if that, you know, I'm not going to say he didn't mail us one, but I'm just saying I don't know where it is, if he did, and if he did, for sure. But I know we're invited. He invited the whole body, whoever, whosoever will, let him come. So that's Thursday night. If you want to go and you need transportation, well, let me know, and we'll try to put something together for you. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. All right. God bless your hearts. Good night.